Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today. Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 15 through 17. You have been taught by the Holy Scriptures. Matter of fact, if you have a pen, I'm going to ask you even to mark some things on your page. If you're a Bible marker, it's okay. It's not a sin to write in your Bible. Did you know that? So if you actually have your actual paper Bible open, you can do it on those scriptures as well. You have been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood. This is a scripture we use for baby dedications. And they've given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God. And so I want you to circle that word inspired right there. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. I know this crowd, and I know that there's a few in this crowd that you're never wrong. I'm going to tell you, one of the powerful things about God's word is having an open heart to say, you know what, no matter what my opinion is, no matter what I was taught by somebody else, those words come off of that page and they come into your heart, and sometimes it confronts our opinion. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Such a powerful promise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that you received His message from us. You didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted." Everybody circle "accepted." If you got your notes there in your own Bible, you accepted what we said as the very word of God. Now, if we were going deep into hermeneutics and Bible study and all that, you would see right here that it's a powerful thing when Paul is writing to Thessalonica that he's saying that the first century church, what the apostles were writing as letters, as the word of God. Powerful statement right there, which of course it is. And the word continues. Circle that one. Look at that one. Continues. God's word never stops. The Bible says that God's word will accomplish what it sent out to do, that it will not return void. When God's word goes out, it continues its work. It continues its work in your life and your family's life, because the power and the word of God is powerful. We're going to even read that one next. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is what? Alive and powerful." Circle those two words, alive and powerful. "It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joy and marrow." And here's the key, this last sentence: "It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." I think it was Mark Twain that said, "It's not the scripture I don't understand that bothers me, it's the ones that I do." Right? Because it gets in there into our heart, right? Let's look at one of the best chapters about the word of God is Psalm 119. I want to read a few of those. Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Psalm 119, 165, "Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble." Okay. I don't know if I want to start meddling now. If you need peace and you're having trouble walking the path, then you need to get the place to love the instruction of the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, 145, look at this. "I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments." Aren't those powerful promises? You see, when I truly committed my life to the Lord, yes, I was raised and, you know, my mom, she actually came to the Lord when she, when she was, she was pregnant with me. And so she, you know, me growing up, she made me go to church. I did not ever want to go. I mean, I can't, you know, that's why my ears are so big, because that's what she latched on to take me to church. You know, anybody ever been there? And so I was in that church all, you know, and there were times in my life that it kind of hit me, and I wanted to make things right, and I tried to make things right, but, you know, I never lived it out. It never had great impact on my life, and I always went back to the old patterns. I want to tell you something. When I finally really surrendered, when I came to the Lord and said, okay, God, here I am, here's my heart, there was a shift that happened inside of me that was different than any other point in time in my life. And I'm going to tell you what that was. Yes, some of that was the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to tell you something else. It was a love and a hunger and affection for God's Word. And that is what led to life change in my life. I mean, most of you know I've been so open about my life and where I was before I came to the Lord. And so I want you to listen to me very carefully, because I know it's easy to look at this guy up here and not think that I know, but I do know. I know addiction. I know what it is to be away from God. I know what it is to be in darkness. I'm going to tell you, what changed my life was the light of the lamp in my path, the Word of God. That's what shifted me. That's what changed me. I remember that moment. I can tell you, I quote it all the time, the very first verse I ever memorized that ever leapt off the page at me when I was dealing with all the feelings of that past and feeling that draw back, but I didn't want to go back. And I came across this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And all that old stuff is gone, and everything comes new. And I remember when that promise came alive in me. I remember when I felt all alone, and the world was coming against me, and all of hell was coming against me. And I was like, "What? Why am I doing this? God, I need an answer." And I came across this verse. I would barely say 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. And I felt like I had an answer, that the enemy, he hated me, and that was a good thing. Does anybody hear me this morning? And I remember dwelling on that passage, and then out of the blue, I mean, this is how the Word of God works. Then one day, I read the verse right above it in 1 Peter 5:7 that says, cast all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. And then I learned something. Some of you have never heard this before, and you need to listen to my voice very carefully. The first step in spiritual warfare. I mean, I know that we intercede, we need to pray, we need to go after God, and we bombard heaven. But I'm going to tell you, the first step in spiritual warfare is to give your anxieties to the Lord. Because the enemy, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, and he will take advantage of those anxieties in your life. But if you cast them to God, they ain't there for him to prowl on or take advantage of. Do you hear me this morning? I remember coming across, I was at a place, I had stepped in, I felt called to ministry, and I was youth pastoring volunteer for the first time, and I had a great job. And I remember coming to this place in my life, I was making good money, 21, 22 years old, I was working for Miss Barrett's, had free bread, come on somebody, free cakes, oh, does anybody remember Miss Barrett's pecan pies? If there's one thing I miss about Miss Barry, it's just the pecan pies. Me and the little Debbie guy used to meet behind the grocery stores. That sounds terrible, right? And he'd give me the Dunkin' sticks, and I'd give him the buttercups. But I remember coming to this place, and thinking, you know what? Man, I can just work, and I don't have to do this, you know, all-in youth pastor and ministry thing. And this will make a long story short, but I got invited to a revival. And there was an evangelist there, and I experienced something I had never experienced before, but a guy reading my mail, like mind reading me, giving me that word of knowledge and word of wisdom. And the very verse he preached on was 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, for eye has not seen, nor is there in the heart of man, no things God has prepared for those who love him, but it is revealed to us by his Spirit, for it is the Spirit of God that searches the depths of God. And that was a life change verse for me. And I could go on about John 6:63, about his words being spirit and life, or Philippians 2:13, or John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide us into all truth and show us what is yet to come, or Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask, think, dream about, pray for, according to the power of God at work within us. There's so many verses at just the right time that leapt out from that page and did something in my heart. You see, the first thing I want you to know is this, is that God's Word, the Word of God, renews my mind and changes the way that I think. The Word of God renews my mind and it changes the way that I think. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you'll learn to know what God's will is for you, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Let me explain it this way, just very quickly. When we get saved, that's a work that begins in our spirit, in our spirit man. I know we say it, soul saved, I understand that. That's kind of our terminology, but what really happens is our spirit is dead when we get saved, when we get born again. Remember week one, we get born again. God breathes life into our spirit. And so our spirit is quickened, it comes to life. And the way that the transformation process continues in our life is that once that our spirit comes to life, then we can receive the words of the Spirit. We'll see in just a moment, we'll read it again, John 6:63. His words are spirit and they're life. And so we receive that into our spirit. It is His written word that we have before us, that it penetrates us, it penetrates our heart. And as we grab a hold of His word through the power of the Spirit, it does something in our mind and it begins to change the way that we think. You see, there's different places. I said earlier, one of the verses that changed my life was Philippians 2:13. You guys should have this verse just memorized by how much I quote it. For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good pleasure. Where does it begin? It begins in our spirit. And then when our spirit shifts, there's something that begins to happen in our mind, and it changes the way that we think. And if we change the way that we think, we change the way that we act. Do you hear me this morning? So the Word of God renews my mind. Another verse, Ephesians chapter 4. It's okay, I'm going to use a lot of verse, but I am preaching about the Bible. Ephesians 4:17, with the Lord's authority. This is Paul writing. Check this out. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. They are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Where's the good? Well, we're getting to the good news. Verse 20, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You see, this word, the Word of God, it transforms us just like a metamorphosis. You see, that word, transform, actually means metamorphosis, whatever. But I love the definition of it. The definition is change of physical form, structure, substance, especially by supernatural means. Listen to this. A striking alteration in appearance, character, and circumstance. Listen to me. When the Word of God is at work within you, you're going to go through a metamorphosis. And it's going to change you. And people are actually going to look at you and say, what happened to you? I mean, you understand where this comes from, right? Right? I mean, it's the simple illustration of the caterpillar, then goes in the cocoon, and then, you know, what's in that cocoon, and And then what comes out of a transformation happens, and it turns into a butterfly. That's the same thing in our life. That's the same difference of light and dark that we should have in our life. That's our old man that died in that cocoon, and here's now the new man. And what brings the direction, the power in our life in that is the Word of God. If the Word controls your thinking, listen to me. If the world controls your thinking, you are a conformer. If God controls your thinking, you're a transformer. We all know you're more than meets the eye anyway, right? Especially the ladies in the house. So many layers to you. Amen. That's a good thing. Not being derogatory. It's a lifelong exploration to find out the personalities of my wife. If the world controls your thinking, you're a conformer. You see, if we're in the flow of the world, and the world accepts us, and the world embraces us, and the world does not have issue with us, I'm going to tell you something, a litmus test. You're in the wrong river. You're on the wrong lane. You're in the wrong interstate. Because when the Word of God is at work inside of you, you're going to find there is a contrariness, if I can use that word. There is something different about you. There is something different about you. Let me put this. I was thinking about this in the waiting room at Trey's surgery, and just the awesomeness of the human brain. I mean, it is, I'm not going to go through a bunch of stats and all, you know, everything like that, but I mean, the human brain is really amazing. It really is. And the thing about this is that we were all knit together in our mother's womb. He fashioned and formed us. God, when he created our brain, he created an amazing thing. But you know what? I was thinking about that, way back in the day. I know this is hard to believe for some in the room, but way back in the day, like, I remember my first computer, but I was so computer illiterate, I didn't know you had to plug it into a phone line to get access to the modem. Anybody remember that sound? Oh, I do not miss that sound at all. I mean, when you were, Juno email, you may have Juno email. I mean, like way back then, I knew nothing. I knew nothing about the internet. I knew nothing about computers work. I knew nothing about hard drives. But see, the problem is so many times with computers is not the equipment failure, it's the software failure. I mean, all of us now know, software runs everything, right? Runs our phones, runs our computer, runs so much. I'm having to get our alarm fixed this week, and talking to them on the phone. I'm like, just send me the part. They're like, we can't send you the part. We got to come out and do new software and this whole, I'm like, just give me the little bitty piece I need to put on my back door so my alarm works. But see, that's the same problem, is that we don't necessarily have a hardware problem, but we have a software problem. And when the software is incorrect, it changes everything. And see, our software problem is a sin problem. But it's the Word of God that rewrites our software. It fixes the viruses. It fixes those issues. I mean, read it again, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and patterns and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. There's another thing, meditating. We got to meditate on God's Word, and it's simply remembering God's Word and to bring it back into our mind and think about it. Can I just tell you, that first verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I've been saved now for close to 25 years. I know it's a drop the bucket to some of you, and maybe that's a lot longer than some of you, but I want to tell you there are still times in my walk where I have to kneel down or lay on my face, and I meditate on that promise that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I still go through temptations and things where that old man tries to come up and bubble up. But the difference between me able to stay the course and so many others who don't is I meditate on God's word, and it redirects my life, and I remember who I am. When I feel unloved by everybody in my life, I remember a promise in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for me, that if I would believe in him, I would have everlasting life. I remember that when I was still a sinner, in Romans, when I was still a sinner, Christ still gave his life for me. I remember promises like that. You see, you think I'm so different, or maybe something that's been saved for a long time is so different, and we are not. We have just learned the power of God's word and what it does in our life. I remember, you know, I talk all the time about the things that God delivered me from and how instant it was. But I've got to tell you, it was everything. I mean, everything about the past God took away, it seemed like, but except for one thing, and that was my foul mouth. When I was a heathen man, I would have fit right in with the oil field, right? I mean, I had a foul, foul mouth. And then one time I came across this verse. It's Ephesians 4:29, and it says this: don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, except that which benefits and is pleasing to the hearers. And that transformed, and there were times, man, and it wasn't like, I didn't have to have a cuss jar. I mean, every time that was in me, I remembered Ephesians 4:29, and I meditated and I thought about it. You know what began to happen? A transformation. A transformation. Psalm 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:33, teach me your decrees, O Lord, and I will keep them to the end. Psalm 119:49, remember your promise to me. It is my only hope. Such powerful promises. The second thing that God's word does for us is it creates intimacy with God. The word of God creates intimacy with God. And I know as guys sometimes, I mean, we have a hard time with that word intimacy. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter male or female, you need to have intimacy with God. You need to have a close, personal relationship with the Lord, and that takes place through the word of God. I mean, how many times have we heard it said that his word is a love letter to us, right? I mean, I remember back when I was, me and Angela started dating, you know. I mean, that's what made me discover email, because I thought there's got to be a cheaper way to talk to her. Because it wasn't my letters to her that was hurting, it was her, these thick letters she would send me. And I would always have a ticket in my mailbox. You still owe $1.30-something. And I'd have to pay for her postage. I mean, thick letters. I still have every one of them. And I remember, I mean, I was a manly dude, man. But I'll tell you what, I was like a giddy little school kid going and checking my mail. And if it wasn't there, it ruined my day. But when I'd read those letters, I know we'd talk on the phone, but there was something about reading those letters that it did. I mean, it just, I was already in love with the girl, and I mean, she knew she was going to marry me, but the Word of God creates intimacy with God. Listen to this. You may know this verse. It's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Verse 3, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Verse 4, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So why do I read that verse talking about the Word of God creates intimacy with God? It's because of this. The Bible isn't something. It's someone. You see, the Word of God, it is not just remanufactured tree bark and ink or leather or paper. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And I know that the book is, I know it's an inanimate object, but it's not an inanimate object. It reveals to us the person of the Father and the person of the Son and the person of the Holy Spirit, and gives us an insight to the Godhead that we wouldn't have any other way. The Bible is just not something, it's someone. I mean, look back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's one of the verses we read in our text. 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God. What that word inspired really means is God's breath or breathed by God. Let me remind you the power of God's breath or the breathing of God is when he formed a man in the Garden of Eden out of some dust of the ground. And he formed him in the image of the Trinity. He formed him in, he says, we created him like us. And so God forms man out of the dust of the ground. And then he does something. And what does he do? He breathes life into Adam's nostrils. That same life is the life we see after the death of Jesus in John chapter 20 and 21 when he's meeting with the disciples. And the Bible says that he meets with them and he's given some instruction. But the Bible says then he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That breathing that Jesus did is the same breath that God gave Adam, which gives us new life. The word inspiration means God's breath. We're not experiencing something or just some words. We're encountering God through his word. The enemy will fight you tooth and nail. I know sometimes. I get it. I understand. You know, every year, you know, read through the Bible every year. Of course, there's still some papers out there, I think, to read through the Bible in a year. I know, I get it, man, when I'm going through Leviticus. I'm thinking, when is this book ever going to end? I do sometimes. I mean, you know, just the geology. I mean, genealogy, not genealogy after genealogy. I mean, it's just not Genesis and Matthew in the New Testament. I mean, there's genealogies everywhere in the Bible. I'm like, surely, Lord, you got a revelation in here somewhere. I get it. I mean, when I was a camp counselor at kids' camp, and the kids were all bouncing off the walls that night. That's what I'd do. It's like, okay, guys, it's time for our Bible reading. And they'd lay down. I'd start reading Leviticus 1. I mean, it wasn't 30 seconds, man. Everybody in that room was out. Usually including me, too. But see, the Bible doesn't say. You see, we got to know what God's Word says. Because if I could just take you back just a brief thing about something. Is that when the enemy came to Adam and Eve and tempted them in the garden about taking the fruit, what the enemy did was twist God's word. That's why we need to know God's word, because the enemy will use the word against us. I was thinking about that, of the things that Bible doesn't say. You know, the Bible doesn't say beggars can't be choosers. The Bible doesn't say cleanliness is next to godliness. The Bible doesn't say God helps those who help themselves. The Bible doesn't say that 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late, however it should. The Bible doesn't say love conquers all. The Bible doesn't say the Lord works in mysterious ways. Matter of fact, God has done an amazing job to make sure the things that were in secret and mysterious that we now know, and that's through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. To thine own self be true, it doesn't say that. And you know what else the enemy will do? He'll make you so busy you don't have time to read the word. But you know what's amazing to me? How we carve out time for the things that we really want to do. Because I can have the craziest, busiest day. But you know what? I'm going to find time to watch my gold rush. Right? I'm going to find time. I'll tell you what, some of you will probably think left of me if I start talking about all this stuff. So I don't know, maybe I should. But we have Amazon Prime, so I binge watch The Mentalist. Because I'm like, man, I want to be a mentalist, man. That would be so cool. But we find time to do what we want to do. Maybe if I'm missing out on reading God's word, I would find the peace, the calmness, the joy, the direction, the promise, the empowerment, the strength, if I would turn off Amazon Prime every now and then and open up the book. Right? When you read the Bible, it tells us in John 16, I've said this several times, that the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. The very words Jesus says, I have spoken to you, are spirit, and they are life. They are life. The Word of God is the nuclear power of the realm of the Spirit. The Word of God is the nuclear power of the realm of the Spirit. The third and final thing I want to talk to you about this morning is this, is the Word of God heals us. In Psalm 107:20, it says, He sent out His Word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. His Word, is He sent out His Word and it healed them, snatching them from the door of death. I want to read another verse, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, listen, think carefully about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. And as I was looking at that and studying it, I'm going to tell you what I came up with. And that's the words of my mouth, when they are in agreement with God's word, it enables Jesus to fulfill His ministry to me. You see, when Christ was sent, He had a purpose, did He not? What was the purpose of Christ? To seek and to save that which is lost. And so that came to a culmination when He suffered those stripes upon His back and He was put upon that cross at Calvary. And so we know He was put on that cross. Why? To die for our sins. He took our place. Everything we read about up until this moment is about our reconciliation with the Father, our redemption, that forgiveness of sin that we only receive through the blood of Jesus. But then something happens, so He dies on the cross, right? And then He's put into a tomb. And what happens on the third day? The Bible says that Christ rose, didn't He, right? I mean, Romans 8:11, isn't that what tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit at work within us? And so we know that He was resurrected, and then He walked the earth for a period of time, for a few more days, and teaching and meeting with the disciples. But there came a point in time where He ascended into heaven. So stay with me. Stay on track with me, okay? And so the Bible says that He ascended to heaven. So do we know where Jesus is now? Where Jesus is now is at the right hand of the Father. And now He has another mission. See, He fulfilled what He was supposed to do upon this earth for everyone that would believe. Do you hear me? And so now He has another purpose. He is the high priest. And He's there as an advocate on our behalf. Oh, come on, somebody. And what it means is that He's an advocate on our behalf. When we walk, when we stand, and when we, by our confession, the words of our mouth and the belief in our heart, are in agreement with His word, with His promise, then there is an unleashing of God's favor and God's promises upon our life. Because we have an advocate, as the high priest is saying, Father, that's my promise to Him. Come on, somebody. When you're bombarding heaven for somebody's miracle, Jesus, that's my promise to him, Father. That's what we told him we would do. Remember, you promised in Exodus that you're the Lord God that heals them, and then you sent me as your word to bring that healing. Did I lose you? you promised Abraham that you are the Lord God, our provider, but I showed him I was a provider when I multiplied some fish and some bread. You see, he's there at the Father. There's a partnership going on, and we partner with him by standing on the promise of his word. And that's how we stand on that word and know that we can send out God's word and it'll accomplish what it sent out to do, and that it will not return void. Come on, somebody. You can't send out your opinion and it bring a return to you. You just make a lot of people mad. But when you send out God's word, when you plant God's word, when you sow God's word, when you stand on God's word, when you stand on his promise, I'm going to tell you something. There is a Father and a Son in heaven that sees that. And they're like, Holy Spirit, yeah, let's make this thing complete and let's work this thing out. I hope I make sense. I may not. I may be in left field. The words of my mouth that are in agreement with God's word, it enables Jesus to fulfill his ministry as our high priest. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that man is Christ Jesus. And so what is he? He's the mediator. 1 John 2:1, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you'll not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. His work, he finished as Savior. Remember, he said it, his words on the cross, it is finished. And so now the power of sin has been broken. We can have the forgiveness of sin. The ongoing ministry of Jesus is that advocate, is that mediator who pleads our case before the Father. Jesus is my mediator and my advocate in heaven, intervening on my behalf to make sure I receive every blessing that he died and rose again to give me. Did that land? I said, Jesus is my mediator and my advocate in heaven, intervening on my behalf to make sure that I receive every blessing and he died and rose again to give me, to make the promise complete.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.